Well, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. And Lord, we stand both to get our blood flowing too. And Lord, we stand in attention to your word. Would you focus our hearts and our minds on your truth today? Would you speak through me, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to bring your word to bear upon our hearts? And Lord, as the seed of your word is cast out here today, may the seed of your word fall upon good soil, that it may sink in and take root in our hearts today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Steve Jobs, you know, the founder of Apple, you know that company that makes iPhones and all that? Steve Jobs has this quote that has been jumping around in my mind for the last couple of years, and he passed away a number of years ago. But he said this, some people say, give the customers what they want, but that's not my approach. Our job is to figure out what the customer is going to want before they do. I think Henry Ford once said, if I'd asked customers what they wanted, they would have told me a faster horse. People don't know what they want until you show it to them. That's why I say never rely on market research. Our task is to read things that are not yet on the page. And I appreciate that quote because sometimes in the church we expect the Bible to give us maybe what we want to hear. And sometimes the Bible is presented that way, like it's a resource book where you can look up a certain topic and find your answer. And certainly sometimes yet that you can find a good answer where a verse makes reference to a specific topic. But the Bible doesn't necessarily work like that. What the Bible does is it shows us what we want, even when we maybe don't want it ourselves just yet. And we're going to see here today that the Apostle Paul is going to present what he cares about very deeply. He's going to talk about his cause. Remember, the Apostle Paul was in jail as he wrote the book of Philippians. And when you're in jail, you write about your cause and the people that you love and are concerned about. Paul's cause, the thing that Paul, the Apostle Paul, cared about more than anything else, and this is the thing that if you don't want this, then this is, hopefully the scripture is going to show you that this is a good thing to want. But Paul's cause, it was this, the advance of the gospel. He wanted to see the gospel, the good news of Jesus, expand and go across the whole world. In our modern buzzword Christianity, Paul was Christ-centered, meaning that Jesus Christ was the center of all that he did in life. Everything that flowed through his life funneled through his most important objective, which was to see the gospel of Jesus Christ go out and be received and believed across the world. Jesus wasn't just one priority among other priorities in all of his life. It was the main thing that he loved and he cared about. And you know what, friends? This needs to be our cause too. We need to have as our primary focus in life, even if we're not a pastor or a missionary, but our primary focus needs to be the advance and the reception of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People receiving that and are saved and are growing in that grace and in that truth today. So how do we know if that's what we really care about? And we find that out by asking ourselves, what really causes you to rejoice? And I mean, what causes you to have this hooting and hollering rejoicing in your life? And certainly we can be excited and rejoice about many different things, but what is the thing in your life that causes you to rejoice? I'll leave it there for a while. Let God search and examine you. But the Apostle Paul, the one thing that caused him to rejoice was the gospel going forth and Christ being exalted. And so I invite you to open with me to Philippians 1, verse 12, as we continue to walk through the book of Philippians this summer. Flip to Philippians, okay. I told you last week I'll stop with the... All right. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. And we see here in verse 12 the beginning of Paul starting to talk about his cause. Hear this text with me. It says, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. The first reason that the Apostle Paul gives for his rejoicing, his thing that excites him more than anything else, is the cross of Jesus Christ being proclaimed. Jesus Christ, the message of Jesus and Jesus crucified for the sins of the whole world, including yours and mine. Paul is rejoicing that that message is being proclaimed across all the world. First, he notices this, that message, Christ is proclaimed, Christ is being proclaimed by me. The Apostle Paul says, I'm preaching the gospel myself. I want to use my life, I want to devote my life to proclaiming that life-giving, that saving message of Jesus Christ. Paul says, the gospel is being proclaimed through my life. He had opportunity to preach Christ and to share Jesus with others. And I'm guessing the Apostle Paul had a certain plan for proclaiming Christ. Maybe had that, have you ever heard people say, do you have like an elevator pitch for something? You know, the time that you have going up and down an elevator with somebody? How could you share the gospel in an elevator ride? Do you have a short 1 minute or less presentation of the gospel? Maybe he had also a plan of if he had a little bit more time, maybe 5-10 minutes of sharing the good news of Jesus with others. And I'm guessing he had an extended version too, where the Apostle Paul liked to talk and liked to write and to share that as well. And I ask you this, are you ready to preach the gospel? Are you ready to proclaim the gospel? Are you, yeah, amen. Are you equipped with that? Yeah, to preach the good news of Jesus as you have opportunity to glorify his name. You might have an elevator ride opportunity with somebody where it might be you and somebody else. And you know what? I'm guilty of this too, but it's easy just to flip out the phone for those moments and ignore the person next to us. God might be using that as a divine opportunity. I had one of those this last week as I walked out of the grocery store. I bumped into somebody that went to my previous church. He's a construction worker and he's working just a few blocks from our house. Fun! You have opportunities like that to talk and to share and to bless others by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul had those opportunities. And in verse 12, he notes that his circumstances had opened up different doors of opportunity. And it says in verse 12, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel." Paul could have seen his imprisonment or his jailing as a slamming of the brakes on his opportunity to proclaim the Christ, Christ Jesus. But instead, God gave him different opportunities. And you know what? Paul might have been chained, but the message of the gospel can never be chained, can never be stopped. Paul was excited about the advance of the gospel, and the word advance sounds like a word that would be used to describe an expanding kingdom, like looking at a map with Alexander the Great. As you see his expanding kingdom, the gospel of Jesus Christ expands as the message is shared and received and believed through others. Through his jailing, the Apostle Paul had a captive audience. Now this is, I want to share a slide here. I love this little SpongeBob with the Apostle Paul. Says, "Hey, Paul, what are you doing? What are you doing, Paul? Writing a letter?" And Paul says, "I was given a thorn in my flesh." Here, this idea is reversed, where you have a captive audience. The Apostle Paul was chained, yes, but he had a rotation of people of jailers that would come in and out and would be literally connected or chained to the Apostle Paul. Paul had a captive audience, and he used that opportunity to share about Jesus Christ. I love that. The Apostle Paul didn't just wallow in self-pity. Oh, woe is me. I'm in jail. I'm in jail for the sake of Christ. He used that as an opportunity to share. One commentator said he had daily guards that heard all that he said and did. And they heard and received the gospel, many of them, brought it back to their barracks, and then the whole Praetorian Guard, as it mentioned here in the text, that's a lot of soldiers, began to hear about the message of Jesus Christ. We hear in Acts chapter 16 that the Philippian jailer came to faith in Christ through hearing about Jesus through the Apostle Paul. Right, Paul is writing to the Philippian Christians in that place. And you and I, when we think about proclaiming Christ, we may say, you know what? I'm not a pastor. I'm not a missionary. I'm not skilled in talking about Jesus. I want to encourage you. You may not be chained to somebody, literally, like the Apostle Paul was, but God is bringing people into your life, regular people. And that even happens in the suburbs, too, where you bump into people often over the course of your life. Those are opportunities for you to lift high the name of Jesus. You don't have to give a sermon to them. God might, but we're called to be ready, to share about the hope that we have in that. How can you, I want you to think about how you can sprinkle little tidbits of God's word into those conversations or quick interactions with people. And you can depend upon the Holy Spirit for that insight. The Apostle Paul was excited that the gospel was being shared by him. He was also excited that the gospel or that Christ was proclaimed by other people or by others. Okay, and so let's look in this text as he says in verse 12, the gospel has advanced, the greater progress of the gospel has taken place. Verse 14, look at verse 14. He says, most of the brothers, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Paul wanted to instill confidence instead of complaint in his companions in Christ. And that indeed happened. As they saw Paul jailed, in jail and in prison, the Philippian or the Roman Christians there in that place, as he's writing to the Philippians, the Roman Christians were proclaiming they were emboldened by Paul's imprisonment. I want to tell you a story of a man named Andrew Brunson. He's an American pastor. He's been imprisoned for 19 months in Turkey, actually, under dubious charges. And he's been working for a couple of decades with his wife there in Turkey, leading the small Protestant church in Izmir. Resurrection Church is the name of that church. And more recently working with Syrian refugees, all without incident. But now, lately, he's come under imprisonment, under the charge of engaging in espionage and using his church as a cover for a militant group. And I wanted to share his story with you today because his jailing is encouraging and emboldening his home church. And his home congregation is in North Carolina, this American pastor. And I want you to hear what one of the pastors at his home church said as they respond to this man's jailing, as we continue to pray for his release. The pastor there was asked, how is this long ordeal affecting the people that know him back home in North Carolina? And the pastor says this. This is from World Magazine. He says, it's made us more of a serious people. Serious that Jesus Christ really is worth it. This is a mean world, and we should not expect otherwise. And so it's important to be strong in the Lord and faithful in Jesus. We see our brother doing it, and it's hard. The Lord also is teaching us the patience of prayer. Even when we are not seeing justice, we are going to be a praying people, and we will not walk away. I'm encouraged by the story that even though there's injustice happening here, we see how God is using that for His purpose, to embolden those that know him, the brothers and sisters in Christ. And that was happening with Paul and the people that knew him. As he was in jail, like I mentioned, the gospel is not chained. And other brothers are sharing about that. Maybe you don't know this pastor, but I encourage you to read about martyrs or those who have suffered for the faith, those who have died for the faith. You don't need to know them to be personally edified or built up or emboldened in your own faith. And I think when we read stories like that, some of the slight persecutions that we face in America seem to pale in comparison to what others might be going through for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Knowing their stories will encourage us to press on or even to become more bold to the point of opening our mouths for Jesus Christ. And that indeed happens. And so Paul was excited that others were sharing. But you know what? Sometimes when others share, we can have a hard time rejoicing in the success of other people. Sometimes we sediciously wish that others and brothers and sisters in Christ would fail or stumble in some way. That appeared to be the case for the Apostle Paul. As he was jailed, some brothers were proclaiming about Jesus, and they were using Paul's imprisonment as an opportunity for self-promotion. Okay, so our motives are important too. And so commands flow so much more smoothly when done with the correct motives. And there are bad motivations and there are good motivations in this text. Look at verse 15 through 17 again. He says, "Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment." What are some of the bad motivations listed here? Envy, strife, selfish ambition. Isn't it strange that you can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with these bad motivations, and yet the preaching still happens? What are the good motivations, the good motives? Without fear. The fear of man can so quickly grab hold of our hearts, even to the point where I think we struggle most in America with not opening our mouths at all for the sake of Christ. We are hooked up with the fear of man. Good motivation is without fear, with goodwill, sincere and honest, and with love that is well informed. And you know what Paul says? He concludes in verse 18, he sums up. He says, either way, Christ is proclaimed. Be it through bad motivations or be it through good motivations. Christ is proclaimed. The message of Jesus goes forth. I want to introduce to you a thing that I'd like to do throughout the Philippians series. It's called the Joy Counter. And I want to especially emphasize this because Apostle Paul is in jail, and yet the letter to Philippians is a book of joy. Okay, what's the joy counter up to? It's up to two. Now, we saw chapter 1, verse 4. He says he prays with joy. And did you catch it there in verse 18? In this I rejoice. He has great joy in the gospel. Our joy counter is up to two. I encourage you to keep a tally of that throughout this sermon series. And so Paul is excited because the gospel is going forth, because Christ is being proclaimed. And the second reason that he is excited is because Christ is being exalted. Listen to verses 18b through the verse 20 here. Verse 18b says, "Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." There's a popular quote that's often attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. He says, or he probably didn't say it, but it's attributed to him. He says, "Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." And most Christians, especially those not comfortable with sharing or opening their mouths for the sake of Jesus Christ, have taken hold of a statement like this and have shrunk back to being content with merely having their lives be the message that others hear. This wouldn't be you, would it, dear friend, today? I think the problem in our day is that we're unwilling to open our mouths for the sake of Christ. God gives us opportunities. And yet, at the same time, the way we live our lives matters too. And Paul is saying, Christ will be exalted either through my life or through my death. Okay, and so, similar to verse 18, he shares an either way summary. All right, what's the joy counter up to now? 3, right? There were 2 references to that. Verse 18, in this I rejoice, and then he repeats, yes, and I will rejoice. Before we get too far, we got to tally up that joy counter. Paul notices that Christ is exalted in his life. He knows that his fellow brothers in Philippi are praying for his release from jail. He knows that God is answering prayer by giving him the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, as he mentions there in verse 19. Jesus Christ is being exalted through his life. Friend, is Jesus Christ being exalted in your life? And I'll flip it the other way. Jesus is being exalted in your life. As you live out your callings, your vocations that God has placed you in, Jesus Christ is being exalted, and God is accomplishing his plans through your life. And the more you think about it, the more you get excited about it as you see God at work in you, as Jesus Christ is exalted through your example. I want to give you a practical tip here. When someone compliments you, it's an opportunity to exalt Christ. You can say something as simple as, praise God for that, or all glory be to God for that. That's a simple way we can exalt Christ through our lives as others notice. Point it back to Jesus. Christ can be exampled in our life, but Christ can also be exalted in our death. Paul knows that that Christ will be exalted in his death. We're coming right up to verse 21, that famous verse in Philippians, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You'll have to come back next week to hear that verse as we hear it proclaimed in the pulpit here. Paul knows that if Christ is going to be exalted in his death, then so be it. May Christ be exalted. He was content with his fate, and that fueled his boldness. So I want to come back to this question, friends. What causes you to rejoice? Bible's not a killjoy for us, telling you, hey, you can't find joy in anything else in the whole world except for Christ. But what Christ is doing through a passage like this is taking all the things that we are excited about and funneling them through the main priority, that Christ might be exalted through speech and through our life, that the message of the gospel might go forth and be received not only by us, but by others too. And so, in that way, we too rejoice. We rejoice in his grace to us today. Let's pray. Lord, we give you praise for your truth today. Thank you for this letter that is dripping with excitement of joy over the message of the gospel going forth. And Lord, I pray that you would apply that gospel to us in this moment, that we may see that our sins are forgiven through you, Jesus, and that we may go forth knowing we are forgiven in that freedom, pointing others to you. Look what I found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for that today, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen.